As Helen said, my name is Bethany Brooks. I am on staff here at Chi Alpha as an intern, and oh my goodness, I'm just so happy that you guys are here. And to you who are just checking out Chi Alpha for the first time, a special welcome to you. I pray that God will be speaking to your heart specifically tonight. As Glenn said, we are going through the Gospel of John, and the past few weeks, we have been going through what is called the Upper Room Discourse, which chronicles Jesus' last words to his disciples before he is taken away to die on the cross. 2 weeks ago, Alex Kim... taught on Jesus describing himself as the vine. He is the true vine, and we are the branches. And last week, Glenn talked about how in Christ, we can have this constant source of joy throughout all circumstances, which is very cool. Tonight, we will be going through the very beginning of the Upper Room Discourse, where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Yes! It's going to be so good because it just beautifully demonstrates how Jesus is a king who humbly serves his people. So, before we get into it, just bow your heads with me. We'll start off with a prayer. Father God, we praise you. We praise you for everything that you are and what you are doing in our lives. And we just thank you that you came to us first. And that you chose to serve us and love us first, way before we could serve and love you back, Father. So we just thank you so much. Please bless the words that I have to say tonight. Please open our hearts and our thoughts and our minds to what your word is speaking to us. So we love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So we are going to take a look at John 13, verses 1 through 17, as usual. The words will be displayed on the screens in front of you, but I also encourage you to open up a Bible, if you have one, and read along. So, John 13, verses 1 through 17. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, you are going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head also." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." No surprise, there is a lot packed into this passage. So I think it would be helpful first to look into just the cultural kind of background. So there's kind of this thing with the feet. I don't know if you guys noticed, but everyone is freaking out about the feet. Like, they're freaking out. Why is that? Okay, well, let's go into it. I don't think it requires much imagination for us to really think how, like, dirty times were back then for Jesus and his disciples. I mean, for one thing, everyone wore shoes that were kind of like sandals or flip-flops. Do I have any sandal flip-flop wearers in the house tonight? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And sandals are great. Oh, they're awesome. But they don't really help you much when you're walking through the streets where everyone goes to the bathroom. Like, everyone, including the animals. And so just take a moment and imagine yourselves as the disciples. For 3 years, you've been palling around with Jesus. You've been walking with him literally everywhere he goes. And Jesus is not a stationary guy. He travels from place to place. So it's only going to be expected that you will step in some camel poop along the way. You can laugh at this, okay. It's funny, but it's very true. not only is there camel poop, but just in general, your feet are going to get beat up. They're going to be calloused and sweaty and smelly and sunburnt. And when you would go have dinner at someone's house, you would be reclining while you ate. So reclining. What the people would do back then, if I don't, pull the microphone up, is you lie on your left side on these fabulous couches, and the couches surround this dinner table. And with your right hand, you would reach onto the table, grab the food, eat it. That's just how it was done. And so obviously, you do not want to get camel poop on the really nice couches. No thank you, let alone on the dinner table. It's a hygiene thing. So what do you do when you walk into someone's house? Do you clean the feet on your own? Of course you don't. You get the slave to do it. The slave is the one that cleans the grime, the gunk, the filth that you've walked through that day. And so this is why Peter and probably the other disciples are bugging out a little bit with Jesus. Because Jesus, the Son of God, is doing the slave's job. So some of you might be wondering, well, Bethany, why is Jesus doing the slave's job? That is an excellent question. I'm so glad you asked. Jesus answers it himself in Matthew 20:28. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is God humbling himself so that his people can know his deep and wide love for them. How is Jesus being humble in this passage? Well, for starters, Jesus has a right understanding of who he is before God. Humility is having a realistic awareness of who you are in relation to God. For Jesus, well, he's God's son. He's perfect. He's blameless and faultless and holy. And in verse 3, Jesus knows with confidence that the Father has given all things to him. In Ephesians 1:20, Paul says how everything from governments to galaxies fall under Christ's rule. Indeed, Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords, but what this world does not expect this king to do is what he does next. Jesus trades his title for a towel. And for self-disclaimer, I wish I could say that phrase was my own, but it was not. I got it from Christianity Today, really good article on Servanthood, but regardless, it's a really great phrase, so I will say it again. Jesus trades his title in for a towel. Jesus knows his identity is rooted in God, and because he's humble, he chooses to lower himself and touch the stinky feet of those that he loves. This leads us back to the very first verse of the passage, which I think is honestly like one of the sweetest parts. The message says, having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. His dear companions, or dear ones, are his disciples, even Judas, who's like going to betray him in only a few hours. And clueless and stinky as they are, Jesus loves his disciples. And he is going to love them every step of the way to his death, which is the ultimate expression of his love for the disciples and for the world. And Jesus' love for them is so great that it doesn't just stay in his head and in his heart. He acts it out. So what verbs do we see in these verses? He got up, set aside, put on, poured water, began to wash, drying. Even though Jesus is God, the God of the universe who has all things, he set aside his robe for a few moments and puts on clothing that a slave would wear to clean the feet of his beloved ones. Guys, we have a God who desires so deeply to get up close and personal with us, with his people. We have a God who wants so badly to be in a relationship with us that he's willing to humiliate himself so that he can cleanse and love the dirtiest part of us or parts of us that no one else is willing to touch. So that leads to another question. What are some things in your lives that Jesus wants to step into and clean? Because the truth is, and it sounds gross, but just go with me here, our souls are like the disciples' feet. like the feet, they were covered in camel poop. Well, there's a spiritual kind of camel poop, and it's called sin. You guys tracking with me? Okay. But seriously, sin is gross, and it encases us. And that's why Jesus tells Peter in verse 10, it's not a hygiene problem, it's a holiness issue. So what are the things in your lives that you deem too disgusting for Jesus to touch? Because the truth is, there is nothing in you that is too gross for Jesus to reach out and to clean and to make new. Thanks. Jesus' love is so mind-bogglingly profound for his people that it led him to be sacrificed on a cross so that their sins could be cleansed once and for all, so that your sins could be cleansed once and for all. There is nothing in you. There's nothing in you that is too gross for Jesus. But what is it that might be holding you back from him, from letting him do this for you? We might get some insight by looking at Peter's responses. And I'm sorry, I just have to smile because I identify with Peter so much. Maybe you guys do too. because Peter has some pretty strong reactions to Jesus' show of love. At first, Peter does have the right response, and it's a response that I think we should all emulate when we have realized what Jesus has done for us. You wash my feet. You died for my sins. The humbleness of this servant king should indeed shock us. And this is the sweetness of the gospel, of the good news, that Jesus paid for our sins when we couldn't do anything to help ourselves. But when Jesus tells Peter, like, oh, okay, like, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but, like, you'll understand later and hit the cross, Peter exclaims, no! You will never wash my feet! And honestly, I struggle with this part. I struggled with this part a lot when I was just preparing for it and reading through it because, like I said, I identify with Peter a lot here. And maybe you guys can too. Because at first glance, seems like a perfectly normal, well, minus the yelling, perfectly normal, polite response for Peter to have. I mean, Peter is doing Jesus a favor, you know, right? Like, denying his humble act of love. Is he? But as I've read through this passage again and again, Jesus uses Peter to call out the pride in myself. So for you guys, just think about all the times that you have offered to help someone, whether it was offering to like pay dinner or offer them a ride or help them with their homework. And maybe that person waved you off saying, oh, no, you're okay. It's all good, I got it. How did you feel when they shut down your offer to help them? How did you feel? And I think that's where the problem is, where our pride is. I can do it. I got it. I don't need you to do it. When someone wants to do something for you and you don't let them, you're not letting that person love you. And so it is with Peter not letting Jesus serve him. Jesus has seriously done something scandalous. He has crossed the line from master and disciple and disciples into something just infinitely and incredibly uncomfortable for his disciples. It's very, very intimate. And that's what scares Peter. And that's what I think scares us sometimes. When you think back on the ways that Jesus wants to show his love for you, have you been telling him, no, you'll never do that for me, Jesus. I won't let you. And that leads into Jesus' response to Peter. If you won't let me clean you, you can have no part with me. And as humans are, our pride is a root of a lot of things. Our pride and selfishness make us think we can do perfectly well on our own. And when God tells us that we are destined for hell because of this spiritual gap between us and him, we think we can work our way into heaven. Like, you know, we totally got that, but we reason it out. We think that if we are nice to an X number of people, or if we use our degrees for like this great humanitarian cause, or if we refrain from punching out that person who really deserves it. It's like, those are all good things. But, we come up with like reasons like that that make us think we'll slide into heaven just okay. But Jesus is telling us that if we don't invite him in to the messiest parts of our lives and ask him to be our savior, we can't be saved from hell. We just can't, guys. We can't take part in his kingdom and in his redemptive plan for the world. And so that's what Jesus was telling Peter. Peter, you have to let me love you. You have to let me love you. If you're going to serve one another, you have to let me serve you first. So then Peter, Peter, okay, this is just another part I identify. He switches to the other extreme. You know, it's just like how I am, like, in 5 seconds of the first one. Like, girls, you understand. Okay. But Peter says, well, they clean all of me, which is his way of saying, well, do everything for me. And Jesus is like, no, Peter, like, you still have free will. You still have choice. You still get to make decisions in life and in your life, but just know that once I've cleaned you, you're clean. You're good. You don't need anything else. Okay. So we've talked about Jesus' confidence in who he is and how he humbles himself and serves the disciples and Peter's and our reaction to him. What next? The final part is what he commands his disciples. Do for each other what I have done for you. Be humble as I am humble, and become leaders who serve one another. Going back to the definition of humility, we know who Jesus is before God, but who are we? Well, first off, we need to know who we are before God without Christ. So without Christ, we are God's creatures who are weak and dependent and flawed and selfish and very much lacking in wisdom and a bunch of other things. But with Christ, we are God's creatures who have a purpose. We are made strong in our weaknesses. We have the Holy Spirit to guide and to teach us. We are perfect and blameless before God's eyes when we're covered in Christ. So good. Awesome deal. We can have this amazing assurance and confidence in our relationship with God, just like Christ did. And it's with this confidence that we can look at the world around us and ask for a towel instead of a title. What this world thinks of us doesn't matter anymore, because what God thinks is all that matters. And that's when we are truly free to serve one another in ways that the world just thinks is scandalous and really, really crazy. Well, you might be wondering, how do we serve one another? Is it the big things, Bethany? Does being humble mean that if I have to obey God if he asks me to go to Ecuador to be a missionary and instead of using my hum bio degree? Well, maybe. But I think God is calling you to make servanthood a lifestyle. In Colossians 3:12, Paul says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Humbleness in who you are, guys, and how you serve one another is something you choose to take on every day. Just think of those who are around you, in your dorms, in your classes, with your family and friends, with people on the street, at work. Look at the people around you and seriously ask yourself what they need. Your identity as Christians trumps your identity as Stanford students. And just gotta let that out there.
Preach.
There is nothing beneath you that you cannot do for God and for others. And if you don't know, just go up and ask people, because they'll tell you. And if you still don't know, then ask God, and he will give you ideas of how to serve others. And be sure to do it in a way that blesses them and doesn't bless your image. So, in regards to some examples of what you guys might be able to do, or just to pray about, if you have roommates, and one of your roommates takes out the garbage, you could say, "Oh, well, maybe I can do that for them and serve them in that way." The thing is, be discerning and wise, because maybe you'll start taking out the garbage and your roommate will be like, "Hey, wait, what? Maybe, do they not like the way that I bring out the garbage? Like, is that you guys know what I mean?" So it's just like, you know, be discerning. Oh, seriously?
Sounds like a
real
problem.
Yes, it's not. But if you decide that, you know, taking out the garbage is a good way to serve your roommate, then don't do it just once, because anyone can do that. But make it a habit. But, I mean, it doesn't have to be the garbage. It can be just doing the dishes for your roommates. Or, goodness, just other things. But another example, if you live in Escondido Village, you can offer to babysit for a family that you know. And no, I'm not asking that, like, telling you guys to, like, go up to the first Come lay me and say, I'm going to babysit your kids. No. Just need to have some. You need to know first. Okay, sorry. Okay, you guys kind of get what I'm getting at. So, or you can offer to tutor a student who is really struggling in your class. Or simply just taking time to check in with your friends and ask them, like, seriously how they're doing. And then seriously listen to them and pray for them. That speaks volumes. Another way you can serve, I mean, you can get involved with Chi Alpha. You can help us set up, like, sound equipment and help us tear down. You can help with slides, which, like, Valerie and, like, David do such an awesome job at. And, like, leading a life group. And there's so many things. Like, we also have pancakes this Friday.
Yes.
Yeah, pancakes. It's so great. I mean, it's such an awesome way to serve your campus.
Amen.
And,
amen.
Yeah, Gladys. And so if you haven't served pancakes before, like, I seriously, like, encourage you guys to go out and give it a shot, because you will be surprised the people that God will bring to you and the conversations that will be had. It's good. And, of course, there are so many other things you can do to serve, and that's something I encourage you guys to really be praying about tonight. But just know this, that when we serve one another, we do it out of a love that is authentic for one another. And we don't expect anything in return or anyone to notice. We regard others as above ourselves, and that pleases God incredibly. Jesus showed how radical and world-changing humble service is. And we can continue shaking the world for Christ as we trade in our titles for towels. Worship team, please come back up. All right, so we are going to enter into a time of reflection, prayer, and then we'll get into worship. So if you guys would just please bow your heads with me, close your eyes. Tonight, I want to challenge you to reflect on how you view yourself before the Lord. Have you puffed yourself up? God wants to help you change your perspective of who you are and who He is. He asks you to center your identity in Him just like Jesus did. And that's just the sweetest place in the world to be. So if you would like prayer for a new perspective of who you are before the Lord, please raise your hands and I will pray for you. Awesome. Thank you, I see you. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Okay. Father God, we come before you asking for a new perspective, for us to be humbled in your presence and to realize who we are without you and rejoice over who we are in you. Please help us have confidence in our identities as your beloved. Then for the next part. Or are you like Peter? Are you refusing Jesus' service in a certain way, or in a certain area of your life? Let me remind you that Jesus is right there next to you, just right in the seat next to you. And he is more than willing to step into your mess, into your gunk, and make you clean and whole. If you would like to accept Jesus' service in a certain area of your life, please raise your hand and I will pray for you. Amen. Awesome, guys. Awesome. Awesome. I see you. Thank you. Father God, we come before you broken and wounded and hurting as we are and just with the sin problem, God. And we acknowledge that there's nothing that we can do to fix it. Nothing in our power that we can have to make our stinky souls clean again. And Jesus, we ask that you will come into our hearts and into our lives. And we know because you loved us so deeply on the cross that you are just willing to do anything for us. And so we ask that you will pick up that towel once again and that you will just dip it in your blood and you will just wipe it over us. For all the hurting parts of us, you will make us new, that you will make us new people. Thank you, God. And lastly, have you been obeying Christ's command to serve others? Or has it simply been a while since you've thought of others besides yourself? But take heart, guys, just take heart in knowing that God is so ready to use you to touch the hearts of those who don't even know him yet. If you want to be given a towel to start changing the world for the kingdom, please raise your hand and I will pray for you. We're doing and to forget the needs of those around us. So God, we ask for your forgiveness and to clean that part of us too, and just knowing that even through that you just love us and you're just so excited to use us, God. You are so excited to use us. You just can't wait. You've been waiting for this moment for such a long time. And Father, when we are serving one another and when we humble ourselves and when we allow you to just come in us and to flow through us, and there's just nothing like it, God. There's nothing in the world that can beat that satisfaction of knowing that you are using us for something glorious and holy and beautiful. That with you, we get to make the world a better place, Father. So much, God. So Lord, just please bless the words of this passage tonight. Please bless us as we enter into this time of worship, that we can just sincerely reflect on who you say we are, God, and who you really call us to be. So yeah, guys, just thank you for listening, and know that during worship time, me and Glenn and other student leaders, as usual, will just be around the corners of the room. So if you need prayer for any of the things that we covered over tonight, or just